honor, Lord, that you will use us right from day one. Lord, what business that I have as being saved just a matter of weeks. You could have thrown out any book of the Bible and I would not have known where to find it. I still remember, Lord, asking the, when a kid asked a question, I still remember asking the other kids, what do you guys think? Because I had no clue. And yet you used me. And so tonight we're here and we say, Lord, use us. We say yes to you. We would never want to say no to you. We say yes to you. Use us. Mold us and shape us. Let us be a vessel in which you put water in and then you refresh those around us. We say yes today. In the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. Go ahead and turn to Acts 24. That's where we're going to be. We're still working our way through the book of Acts. And we saw how the Apostle Paul, he seems to stir things up wherever he goes. I mean, there's people that are wanting to stone him, want him running him out of town, throw him in jail, kill him or whatever. So all along, the Apostle Paul makes an impact. And in Acts 24, we see this. He's stirred up Jerusalem, people trying to kill him. The Roman army goes and rescues him. He has a court hearing, which is kind of a really kind of a kangaroo court, as it were. It's a shamble. I mean, they're just setting him up. And so, sure enough, they get him out of town. They move him to another town called Caesarea. It's a coastal town. And they bring him before this guy, Felix, the governor. And so the religious leaders show up. They get this high-priced lawyer, this defense or this prosecutor to just start making all these claims against the Apostle Paul. See, in a good court, you can make all kinds of claims. And we praise God that we live in America in which people can make a claim, but they got to prove it. In our nation, we are founded on this principle that you're innocent until they can prove you guilty. Most places around the world, you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. Guard that, church. Guard that. I believe that is I know it's founded on biblical principle. That's where our founding fathers got it from. So sure enough, the Apostle Paul is business before this guy, Felix, the governor, and these religious leaders show up, and they start making all these accusations. Well, guess what? None of them stick because they're all false accusations. And so the Apostle Paul says, hey, none of these can stick because I didn't do any of these things. I love what he says, and this is what we're going to look at. But he says, but I am guilty of one thing. So he never misses an opportunity to preach. And you should never miss an opportunity to preach. If somebody says, well, you know, the Christians, they're all just haters. No, we're not. But don't stop right there. Say, let me tell you about, and then begin talking about Jesus who loves, right? And then talk to them about the good things that you've done because of Jesus, just like this Ali was mentioning. And so the Apostle Paul says, no, I'm not guilty of any of these things, but I am guilty of this one thing. I am guilty of following Jesus above all else. I let it be known, I am guilty of being a follower of Jesus Christ. That people can prove. So it kind of got me thinking, okay? It got me thinking, what could people prove us guilty of regarding Jesus? See, you've heard me talk about people that I used to work with that I was like, surprise, 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 when I found out they were Christians. Because they must have been some of those secret agent kind of Christians. Because they sure didn't look like it. Not even close. Not even close. Well, that isn't the Apostle Paul, and that should not be us. Amen? We're either followers of Jesus or we're pretenders. We cannot be both. So let's look at Acts 24 beginning. We're going to look at verse 14 through 17. So once again, the Apostle Paul says, not the stuff that they say about me, it's all baloney. But verse 14, but I confess, he goes, I admit, right, I agree, I'm guilty of this. Says, I confess to you that I, according to the way, which they call a sect, they were saying basically these Christians were just a subsect of Judaism. And really, the Apostle Paul's not going to make that distinction. He goes, no, I'm just as Jewish as I was yesterday. But I'm following the way. I now have enlightenment. So he says, but I confess to you that I, according to the way which they call the sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, but of the just and the unjust. That's a little bit different than what people believed at that day. And this being so, I myself strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to the nation. He's saying that's why I was in Jerusalem. Right? You guys are accusing me of coming to stir up people, you know, lead a revolt against the government. Because I wasn't there to do anything. I was there to worship God. Right? So I'm going to look at five things that the Apostle Paul admits to. Five things. He goes, this you can convict me of. This you can find me guilty. And the reason I bring it up is hopefully this is also your confession. That we could drag you into court and you would be proved guilty of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Who wants to be found guilty of being a follower of Jesus Christ? Okay, good. I'm glad. Here's the first thing that the Apostle Paul admits. The first thing that he confesses. He says, I confess, I admit. He says, I belong to God's people, the church. See, in our day, people are trying to distance themselves from the church. They say things like this, and it's really ignorance when they say things like this. They say, well, yeah, I love Jesus. Or I really am into Jesus, but I'm not into the church. When people say something like that, I know immediately that they don't understand what the church is, because you cannot separate Jesus from the church, because the church is the body of Christ. You can't, they're one and the same. So it shows me a person's ignorance when they say that kind of stuff. And so the Apostle Paul says, no, tie me to the church. And I love the church. The church has done a lot of good things, right? A lot of good things through, for instance, you guys know this, I mean, even when, and keep praying for Houston, when different disasters have happened, this church is right away, right? We send $7,000 right off the bat. I mean, that's a lot of money for our congregation this size. I mean, you guys have been, I mean, every week, I mean, you've been supporting missionaries, you've given money in other places, and yet that quickly, you know, you can come up with money and say, hey, let's help people that have lost it everywhere. And so we wanted to be real strategic as to where we give it to, our connections that we have in the Houston area. And they're like, oh my gosh, number one, this is quick, right? We're still trying to figure out what's going on here, and you guys already have given us money, because it takes money to take care of people, and that's what we're about. So the church does a lot of good, and we're going to continue to do good. And so the Apostle Paul didn't distance himself. He goes, no, I confess to you that according to the way, that's the way Christians were called in the early days, the way. He goes, yeah, man, I'm part of the way. I'm part of the worldwide church of God. Count me in. I'm not going to distance myself. He goes, yes, I'm affiliated, gladly affiliated with the way. Right, they were called the way because they viewed it as the true way of worshiping Yahweh. Where did they get this from? Look what Jesus said. Once again, Jesus says, I am what? The way. That's why they started being known. They're like, whoa, they follow the guy that says he's the way to the Father. Right? I am the way, I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so they didn't distance themselves from that. Right? You know, sometimes, and I'm just going to throw it out there because, as you know, I worked in the real world. And sometimes when people would lambaste the church, when they would accuse the church of this and this, you know, what I do is, okay, let's talk about, yeah, I'm on the team called Jesus, right? Okay, that's our team. But let me talk about to you about your team. Let's talk about your team, right? So I'll play this game. I say, you know, Hitler? He was on your team. How do you explain him? Right? Mussolini? He was on your team. Stalin? Huh? I mean, he makes Hitler look like a choir boy. He was on your team. Let's look at history, right? And all of a sudden they're like, ooh, the church looks pretty good after all, you know? And it does, right? The church is the light. But there's this lie that keeps being perpetuated that somehow the church is not doing what it should be doing. No, the church is a good thing, so we ought to identify ourselves with the church, right? We really do. Don't buy that lie. Well, I'm going to distance myself. Does the church have issues? Yes. And when the church has issues, the church take care of its own issues, right? The church will take care of its own issues. And so the Apostle Paul says, yep, I confess I belong to the way. I belong to God's people, the church. I have no qualms about it. I don't qualify about it. It's a good team. I want to be in that team. The second thing he confesses, I love this, right? He says, but I confess to you that according to the way in which they call the sect, so I worship the God of my fathers. He says, I confess, I worship the true God, Yahweh, right? The sovereign one, the great I am, the God that is above every God, because all the other gods are false gods. The God that is the sovereign one. He doesn't have to check in with anybody. He doesn't say, hey, what do you guys think? No, he is the one true mighty God. And he says, that's the way, the one I serve. You know, here's an interesting thing. I love what he says. See, because you can, and we say that in our culture, it's like this. You can talk about God generic, right? And he started using the generic word for God, but then he hones it as to which God he's talking about. The God of my fathers, the one my fathers are. Who's he talking about? Yahweh. He narrowed it. And we sometimes, you know, in the arena of, you know, public opinion, we a lot of times we don't want to identify. We want to, you know, stay with general God, theos, right? It's okay to be talking about Yahweh. It's okay about talking about Jesus. I want people to know the God that I serve. That's why people think, well, we all serve the same God. I mean, I remember my mom telling me that. We all serve the same God. Oh, no, Mom. I love you, Mom, but you're wrong, right? You're wrong. And so I had to educate my mom that we don't serve the same God. And that's really what the Apostle Paul is saying. No, I serve Yahweh, right? I serve Yahweh. Let it be known that that's the one. I serve him, right? I willingly serve him. I subject myself to him. I lift him up. I venerate him. I put him first in everything I do. He comes first before me. He comes first before my family. I know that's not in American culture. We think it's the other way, family and then God. No, don't get it wrong. Because one day you're going to appear before God, and God's going to say, why did you put your family before me? Okay? So I'm going to teach you here correctly. God comes first. If you don't believe it, go read the Ten Commandments again, Genesis 20. Okay? So we serve him willingly. We subject ourselves to him. The God of our fathers, the sovereign one. We're not going to back away from worshiping him. We're not going to say he's one, just like everybody else. You know, we want to be, oh yeah, you know, they serve the same one. You know, all the gods are the same. No, they're not. God would, if you read the scriptures, he was making sure he was exclusive. He was exclusive. Otherwise, why would he have had a problem to them worshiping other gods and sacrificing to other? What was the big deal? If they're all the same, why would he even have a problem with it? But he had a huge problem. Here's the third thing. So the Apostle Paul says, man, I'm not guilty of what they told me, but I am guilty of these things. Man, I confess, you got me, right? Take me in. I'm about the church, right? I'm about Yahweh. And the third thing is here, I confess, I believe all of God's word, the Bible. He says, I confess, right? I'm part of the way. I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things, he said, which were written in the law and of the prophets. He's talking about all of Scripture in that day. And all of Scripture. And so once again, he's talking to people that, you know, view themselves as, ooh, the keepers of the Scripture. It's like, man, I believe all the Scripture. All of it. And here's an important thing with me, because I see also people trying to distance themselves from some of the difficult things that are in the Scriptures. It's like, whoa, we want to make an excuse for God. Don't make an excuse for God. He can defend himself. I tell people, you know what the Scriptures say? Or what the Scriptures mean? They mean what they what? Say. You know, sometimes we wanna massage it. We wanna kind of make it palatable for people, and we gotta knock that off. The believers that came to me, they didn't say, you know, Carlos, you're just misunderstood. You know, Carlos, you just have a quirky personality. They said, Carlos, your problem is sin. You're rebellious toward God. And you know what my problem was? Sin. I was rebellious toward God. That was my problem. So why would they come, even though I was mean to them? I'm grateful forever, eternally, that they told me what was wrong with me. I was rebellious toward God. I wanted to do my own thing, just like the rest of you guys, right? But we want to, we don't want to upset people. No, upset people. I was upset at first when they told me this stuff. I was. Well, you know what? I needed to be upset. I was taking advantage of people, didn't even know it. The Lord wanted to change my whole family. For generations, we were all going to hell. Right? So we're all going to. Because none of us, none of us followed Yahweh. None of us. Jesus? You know, who is he? And yet he, for whatever reason, he wanted to do a shift in my family. And you know what? He did a shift in my family. Started with me. So I'm glad that people came and told me something that I didn't want to hear. And they had me reading the Bible. When I read the Bible, I'm like, holy smokes. You know, but I had to learn. I had to learn that the way I was living was wrong. But he says, I believe all things. I accept it all. I trust in it. I consider it all true. I don't pick and choose. I don't qualify it. We accept the whole word or we don't accept the whole word. I tell people, especially when I worked in the real world, I said, if you got a problem with the Bible, take it up with him because he wrote it. So sometimes they want to pick a fight with me. I didn't write it. I'm not that smart, right? Not that smart. So if you have a problem with what the Bible says, take it up with him. But let it be known that if you reject what it says, you're rejecting him. So when you appear before him, don't pretend you didn't know, because I warned you. I warned you. This is true. And if you say it's not true, then you're saying it's a lie, and you're responsible for what you just said. Jesus said this to the rulers of his day and the people of his day. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify about me. He said, you know, a lot of people read the Bible for various reasons. He said, you got to understand, the Bible is speaking about me. Sometimes people read the Bible because they think it contains wisdom, and it does. You know, but it's much more than that. People read the Bible sometimes because they're feeling guilty. Or maybe people read the Bible because, I don't know, they need comfort, which the Bible gives lots of comfort. They read the Bible for all kinds of reasons. But he says, you got to understand, the Bible is all about me. It speaks about me. So if you want to know about me, read what I wrote about me. And so the Apostle Paul says, I believe it all. I don't pick and choose. And in our culture, we say, well, no, it really didn't mean that. No, it meant that. You know, we once again, we're trying to make it palatable for people. We want to sugarcoat it for people. And yet he doesn't do that. We're not doing anyone favors. Because I'll tell you what, if somebody sugarcoated the gospel to me, I wouldn't be here today. If people somehow told me that the way I was living was just because I was misunderstood or whatever, I wouldn't be here today. Right? So present the gospel, and if they want to pick a fight, say, pick it with him. Amen? So the apostle says, man, I believe the whole word, entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, I believe it all, just the way it is. Even the stuff I don't understand, I believe. Even stuff that doesn't make sense to me, I believe. Right? Because who am I to think that I know better than God? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Who am I to think, well, Lord, I don't agree with what you wrote here. You know. Oh, my gosh. How well did that work in school? Right? You missed the problem. You told the professor, you know, I don't like the answer that you were looking for. Did that work? No, and somehow we think that's going to work with God. We do. We think that's going to work with God. It's not. So the Apostle Paul, man, I confess, I believe all the Word of God. Here's the fourth thing he confesses to. I confess, man, I got my hope is in God today and tomorrow. I'm laying it all on the line. I believe in Him, and I put my hope in Him. He says, I have hope in God, verse 15, which they themselves also accept. He goes, they understand what I'm talking about, that there will be a resurrection. But I love what he says. Of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. He says, everybody will be brought up one day, right? Resurrected, and will give an account. Everybody. Everybody. Hopefully that causes your knee to shake a little bit. Right? It always does me. But he says, no, but I have hope in Jesus. Right? There's an expectation. I know he's going to step forward. He's going to step forward and say, he belongs to me. I know him. Yeah, Carlos, he put his hope in me. He put his trust in me. Right? He's my follower. He's my son. Oh, thank you. Amen? So he says, man, I've got my hope that God is here, that God is faithful. He's never let me down. He's never going to leave me down. I have hope that what God promised is going to happen, that his principles will work out. And ultimately, and I have the same promise, that God is going to work it out at the very end. See, sometimes we think, man, I can't believe people are getting away with stuff. That's the thing about Facebook. People just rant and rave as if somebody's getting away with something. I'm like, no one's getting away with anything. That's why I don't rob banks. I thought about it. I'm thinking, man, easy money. But I got to give an account one day, right? I got to give an account one day. So I thought maybe I shouldn't do that. Don't be telling the FBI on me, okay? You know, just send an email. Hey, there's this guy that, no, that was a long time ago. Okay, but he says, no, man, my hope is in God, that when he raises us up and he puts us before the Father to give an account, right? That with me, I'm raised to glory. Others are going to be raised to judgment. I knew before I met Jesus that I was going to be raised to judgment. I knew it was not going to be good. But I don't worry about that no more, because my hope is in Jesus today and tomorrow. He's going to take care of my today, and he does an amazing job. And I don't care what comes tomorrow, he's going to take care of me. Seriously, that's why I'm at peace. That's why I don't have a lot of wrinkles. And good skin care. But other than that, joking. Here's number five. I love this. Okay, so he says, verse 16, and this being so, I myself, I strive to have a good conscience without offense toward God and men. I love what he says. You know what? He goes, I'm not out there trying to mess people up. I'm trying to do right by God. I'm also trying to treat people good. And that's what we as believers should do. Treat people good. Love on people. And you hear me say this and this all the time. Not the people that are easy to love. I mean, yeah, we need to love one another, but this is easy. It's easy to love you guys. You guys are so lovable. Well, I'm talking about the guy at work, the girl at work. I'm talking about the family member. We all have that family member, right? Raise your hand if you have that family member, unless that family member is here tonight. don't raise your hand, okay? Yeah. Then don't raise your hand. Okay? We all have one. You know, those are the ones we're supposed to love, and it's so difficult, amen? She's like, God. Lord, I've put up with them for 59 years. How much longer? You know what I mean? You know. But he says, man, I have a good, man, I want to be right by God. I want to do right to people. Verse 17, now after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation. He said, that's what I came into Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul had been collecting, because Jerusalem was struggling. Right? They were struggling as a church. So he was collecting alms from some of the other churches, Gentile churches, and he showed up to present it, to give at the temple to help out the churches. And so I love that, that he did that. So he says he brought alms. Alms is really the giving to the poor. And we send money to Houston. You could call that alms in a sense. I don't know if people are poor, but when you lose everything, you know, you might qualify. You might qualify. You know, I was real glad at my son couldn't get to work because of the flooding. I mean, the flood came right up to his doorstep. I mean, they had to put all the furniture up. I mean, it was not good. They had to put their vehicles up because they were already, you know, getting water and stuff. But I raised my son well, right? Couldn't get to work for 3 days, but you know where he spent those 3 days? At a shelter, helping those that had lost everything. I'm like, son, I love you, boy. I love you. You know, just make me emotional right now. Yeah, because dads, they understand. And then offerings, right? Offerings is what we present to God as a sacrifice, really above tithes. Offerings are what we give above tithe. You know, it's great to give a tithe. The tithe is that first 10% that the Lord says it's almost like the choice cut of meat. The Lord said, you know what the best gift is? That first 10%. He identifies it for us, the best cut of meat. He says, you present that as part of worship. And the Apostle Paul says giving was part of worship. But he brought offerings, which is even above that, right? Which is, you know, I just feel like doing even more. And he does that, right? What a way to live. He says, of all those things, you can find me guilty. And I stand here tonight and I'm thinking, man, I hope I could be found guilty of all those things too. Amen? Amen. We're going to celebrate communion because communion really is a confession too, just like the Apostle Paul says. It's a confession that what he did is right. So, you want to help me out? You want to help me out, David? Be so kind. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come just row by row and take the juice and the bread. And then you can go back to your seat and just talk to Jesus for a little bit. If there's something in your heart between you and the Lord or between you and somebody else, just confess it. Say, Lord, you know I've thought things that I shouldn't. I've seen things that I shouldn't. I've done things that I shouldn't. Lord, will you forgive me? And then I will say, Lord, shift something in me because I don't want to sin against you no more. I'm done sinning against you. And thank him for what he's done. So go ahead and come and we'll take a communion together.
Come and fill this place.